שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the fourth day, יודחס בניסן, תפשן עין ה', פרשס שמיני, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 7 April 2015. Webcasting from Eretz Yisrael in the middle of Passover week, when we celebrate our deliverance from Egyptian tyranny. Maybe this fact is contributing to the rising tide of anti-Jewism and eruptions of anti-Jewitis that come in different forms, envy of our pleasure. For example, hardly a week goes by now without news of a Jewish cemetery in Europe and elsewhere being vandalized, spray painted with swastikas, tombstones toppled. Such activities are carried out presumably by the less intellectually gifted Jew-hating goyim with access to, say, a tow truck or a pickup truck with winches used to pull down the stones. But then there are more refined types, such as university students, who act out their Jew hatred by organizing Israel Apartheid Weeks and other pro-so-called Palestinian activities. Though some university was just reported today, I forget where, to be the scene of an anti-Jew, one or more of them with spray cans, acting like two-year-olds with crayons scrolling on the dining room wall until mommy takes the crayon away, only hear their graffiti express their Jew hatred on the university buildings. And then there are the highest, the major players in the U.S. State and Defense Departments and schools of diplomacy, who exercise their anti-Jew impulses by signing statements of support for the Muslim in the Oval Office and his plan to let Iran keep essential infrastructure for building an atomic bomb to drop on the world's only Jewish state, God forbid. Do a Google on the Iran Project and read this statement, put out yesterday, I believe, signed by 50 big shots, all backing the Muslim anti-Semite in the White House, who has become the mouthpiece for the government in Iran. How powerful is the Jewish idea and its antagonism? Anti-Jewism comes in all sizes, styles, and levels of education. So we're not surprised to see on this list, among the signatories, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the notorious anti-Israelite, whom I once caught in a New York Times op-ed charging IDF soldiers with indiscriminately shooting what he called Palestinians. This is unheard of in the IDF for several reasons. In general, Arabs behave this way, Jews don't. Any IDF soldier acting that way would be seen by comrades in arms, and they would be appalled by his behavior, and they would stop him. In effect, Big was equating our soldiers with the PLO's terrorists, known to murder people at random in airports and bus stops. He was basically calling our sons murderers, just like them. That's anti-Jewism, when you tell lies about Jews. What Brzezinski did was equate Jewish behavior with Arab behavior, and that was a huge lie. Tell a huge lie about the Jews, and you are an anti-Jew. Another signatory is former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who has denied her Jewishness all her life and would not be caught dead siding with that dreadful Mr. Netanyahu against His Excellency Barack Hussein Obama, her respected president. And then there's Samuel Berger, another professional Jew boy, who served as National Security Advisor to Bill Clinton, when the most frequent guest at the White House was that slimeball mass murderer of Jews, Yasser Arafat. Sandy Berger also signed on the list, as well as Leslie Gelb, former New York Times journalist who views Israel exactly as his employers want him to, like a waspy State Department anti-Jew. Then there's Richard Murphy, a villain in my book, and Brent Scowcroft, the usual suspects. And apart from them, on Sunday, there in the New York Times was LTF, little Tommy Friedman, who wrote up his interview, done in the White House, no less, of His Majesty Sultan Barak I, which lasted 46 minutes. LTF published long sections of the transcript on Sunday in his column. Though in all honesty, I neither watched the interview, it's available online, of course, nor did I read his hard copy column, because I am past the point with both LTF and Barak Hussein of thinking I will see something new in either of these anti-Jews. I did not watch and I did not read because I'm frankly a bit dumbfounded by the weird behavior on the part of LTF, who decided to interview him at all. I mean, after 6 years in office, Barack Obama has often enough been exposed himself, really, as a chronic liar. What is the point of interviewing this man when he is a known compulsive distorter of truth? What does it matter what he said in that interview? Because he is a known chronic habitual liar about health care, about Benghazi, about IRS corruption. In the first speech of his that I ever watched, I felt this was a man who did not believe a word he was saying. His whole effort was in presenting himself as an impressive orator. He has this fine baritone voice and the rhythm of his speech. But as for the content, bromides, vague promises, in any case, I found him detached even from the lightweight content. Over the years now, we have seen him not only take the side of the Arabs and Muslims, he thinks and behaves like one. In Arab Islam, truth is not objective, but subjective. All that matters is the truth of one's feelings and appetites and desires, about which one can say anything. Objective truth is irrelevant. All that matters is managing the present towards one's advantage. I did not watch the Friedman interview nor read it, for I have seen and read him so many times as well. He is a fool and a slave of his need to distance himself from the Jewish people he was born into, and that includes solemnly interviewing Barack Hussein Obama over his foreign policy philosophy toward Iran, as if Obama's complete mishandling of Libya, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria never happened. Obama is a proven either ignoramus or incompetent at best in the Middle East, yet Friedman takes him seriously in his views on Iran, Israel, and the Ancient Ones. What a bizarre scene, this interview. LTF respectfully interviews this proven delusionist who thinks that Fort Hood massacre had no Islamic dimension, who thought it was a good idea to topple Mubarak and bring in the Muslim Brotherhood. And I emphasize at best, Obama is a proven loser on the Middle East because the alternative is much worse, a conscious traitorous sabotage of American interests in the Middle East, in that he's not a loser but a great victor. One oddity of Obama's pro-Iran negotiation at Luzon was that besides the existential threat to Israel that his plan poses, the Arabs no less feel they have been thrown under the bus by this man. How to explain this? On the one hand, we saw him obsequiously bow to the king of Saudi Arabia, homeland of his beloved Islam. And in Indonesia, which is almost totally Sunni, he likely lived for a time as a Muslim, Sunni style. So why side with Iran and infuriate the Saudis and other Sunni regimes? And I suspect Obama is far less concerned with the Sunni-Shia split than his obsession with Israel, which was evident in his inaugural speech and his first day in office. He's become an advocate for Iran because Iran is the strong horse, the one closest to building an atomic bomb, to either drop on Israel, God forbid, or use to scare away tourists and foreign investment. For Muslims like Obama, the mere fact of Israel's existence and its possession of an atomic bomb stimulates a Muslim's eternal envy and covetousness that drives him to larceny. If the Jews have an atomic bomb and they don't, why, that's not right. Obama wants to see Israel reduced as the king of the hill, so to speak, in the Middle East, as being the only nuclear power. Obama wants to see Iran the big shot in the region, not Israel. He wants the U.S. to lower its profile around the world, come down from its dominating perch, and so Israel must be humbled as well. That's why he's been trying to join forces with Iran since his first days in office. It is part and parcel of his anti-Jew obsession.
אדוני את שיבת ציון, היינו כחולמים. שיר המעלות בשוב אדוני את שיבת ציון, היינו כחולמים. שולנו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עם מלך. אז אם עלה סחוף פינון, שולנו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עם מלך. הגדיל אדוני לעשות עמנו, היינו שמחים, היינו שמחים. הלוך ילך ובכל נושא משך חזרה, בוא יבוא ברינה נושא אלומותם, נושא אלומותם. אז אם עלה סחוף פינון שולנו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות מלך. אז אם עלה סחוף פינון שולנו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות מלך. הגדיל אדוני לעשות עמנו, היינו שמחים, היינו שמחים. שוננו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עם מלך.
היינו שמחים, היינו שמחים, היינו שמחים, היינו שמחים.
אז אם עלה סחוף פינון שוננו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עם מלך. אז אם עלה סחוף פינון שוננו רינה, אז יאמרו בגויים, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עמנו, הגדיל אדוני לעשות עמנו, היינו שמחים,
This whole business of Obama's deal with Iran, which continues to be front page news here, is simply sickening. Probably due to an Israeli leak, intentional. The Daily Telegraph in London wrote up the stream of money from Iran to Hamas and Gaza, new death tunnels. Here is Iran behind this devilish effort by the Hamites in Gaza to tunnel into a Jewish community's kindergarten, pop up in the middle of it, and murder all the children, God forbid. And in the media, we have seen photographs of the P5 plus one country's representatives at Lausanne posing and smiling at the Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif. Muslims like him are today's Nazis for their diabolical fantasies of murdering Jews like this. Yet here is Zarif standing next to EU Czarina of Foreign Policy, the erstwhile youthful communist member Federica Mogherini, all of them, all smiles. In a better world, all these countries would unite like the allies of the 1940s against Iran, but they do not. It is as if one important lesson of the Holocaust in Europe has not been learned, as in the 1940s when the Allies fought and defeated the Nazis, when their ideology of Jew hatred was central to their political platform. So Iran is a country burning with the same flames of Jew hatred, and here are the P5 plus one countries knuckling under to Iran. They've not learned the lesson that stoking the fires of anti-Jewism can lead to an explosion that brutalizes the Jews, but many more Gentiles. Hysterically, homicidal Jew hatred is bad for everybody. The word this week is that Iranians are celebrating the streets over the Obama agreement. In Israel, the prime minister every day defends the country by going on the offensive against this nauseating capitulation. Iran's entire nuclear project will remain in place, undismantled. But Congress in Washington is, in fairness, seeming to bestir itself. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, has joined Republicans in supporting a bill to hamstring the Muslim in the White House in this regard. This guy Obama, with his track record over the last 6 years, is like a fellow who thinks it's okay to let little kids play with matches. Iran is recognized as the greatest sponsor of terror in the world. Its tentacles are now extended all over the region, and it's simply an abomination, an offense against civilization, that the P5 plus one states tolerate the existence of this regime, let alone allow it to have an atomic bomb. The allies should come together and bring down this regime, as the regimes in Berlin and Tokyo were once brought down. Instead, when sanctions proved their power to force Tehran to the negotiating table, amid vocal unrest in the economy in the country due to the sanctions, it was inhumanly logical at that point to remove the sanctions, which is what Obama wanted to do. Having proven their effectiveness, they should have been increased and increased until Tehran had to relent. Instead, Obama went in the other direction. At first, he puffed and he puffed and he huffed that there would be no centrifuges when these negotiations began. And here he is saluting the continued presence of thousands of them. He said he will not tolerate a nuclear Iran on his watch. And I believe him, for such a statement does not contradict accepting a nuclear Iran after his watch, after he leaves office in 2 years, which is what his plan could lead to. It's nothing less than disgusting that the P5 plus one sit politely across the table from this outlaw regime, this enemy of freedom and democracy, this totalitarian anti-Semitic dictatorship run by Muslim priests whose sermons spew hatred and death. Reuters ran a photo the other day of an Arab, a pro-Houthi, in Sana'a, capital of Yemen. That's the movement backed by Iran, one of its tentacles. And pasted on his forehead was the movement's poster language, which contains five lines of text. First, Allahu Akbar. That means God is the greatest and superior to the gods of non-believers. Lines 2, 3, and 4 were death to America, death to Israel, a curse on the Jews. Line 5, victory to Islam. Five lines, that's all. One reference to America, two to Israel and the Jews, victory to Islam, which presupposes a competition, even a war, between Islam, the Jews, and America. Anti-Jew hatred burns at the core of Islam in a way it does not in Christianity. It is in the core of that religion, but not the whole story. With Islam, hatred of the Jews is basic and scattered throughout the text. And here is Barack Obama and his bootlick LTF Tommy Friedman and Madeleine Albright and soulmate Danny Kurtzer, who also signed that statement, all siding with Iran in its desire to hold on to the machinery it needs to make atomic bombs, if not right away, then a few years away. Islam is the great threat to Israel and Western civilization, and here are these foreign policy big shots siding with this regime that kidnapped and psychologically tormented 52 American embassy personnel for 444 days. The same regime that terror-bombed to death 240 Marines in Beirut 2 years later, that has been behind other warlike acts against America, here being catered to by its distinguished foreign policy experts who should know better. Or are they so hostile to Israel they ignore American interests? A nuclear Iran would be a menace to the states no less than to Israel. But, you know, the human mind, when focused on the Jews, tends to operate in screwy ways.
Ooh,
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. And now here's a news item that illuminates who our enemies are and why surrendering any more land to them defies human common sense. Last Friday, Michael Lushon reported that in the wake of the death this past winter of little Adele Biton, Hashem Yikom Dama, 2 years after an Arab rock attack resulted in the shattering of her skull and brain, the Arabs are spreading the story, Muhammad Adur-like, a hallucination that the 5, 16, and 17-year-olds arrested for that crime were arrested and tortured by Israel and imprisoned when they had nothing to do with an accident. They claim two Israeli cars collided, driven by settlers, and that the settlers decided to blame some Palestinians. Now the PA wants to bring the case of this Israeli crime against the five boys before the European Union. This case is now becoming popular among the European left, and what a coincidence, the similarity between classical religious Jew hatred and that of the atheistic left. In both systems, the Jews are accused of crimes they do not commit, and on that basis, they are hated and abused and attacked. In this case, Arabs threw stones that caused an accident and the ultimate death of this little Jewish girl. The perpetrators were arrested, but the Euro left turns it into a case of the Jews killing her and arresting and torturing innocent Palestinian youth under a false pretext. It's thinking like this which fuels the endless aggression against Israel in particular and Jews in general, be it the work of some drunken Pole with a tow truck or a pickup truck who thinks it would be great fun pulling down Jewish headstones one night, or foreign policy big shots who sign statements supportive of Iran against Israel, at the core of which is a belief on both cases of Jewish guilt. For such as Brzezinski and Albright and Kurtzer and LTF, with Israel surrounded on three sides by 550 million Muslims who deny the Jews the right to independence, it's Israel that is the guilty party responsible for the absence of peace and justice for the poor, poor, putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people. In this, these sophistos with PhDs in political science are no different than the semi-literate stone-throwing Arab teenager who thinks the Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinians. It is a world fit for the dark side of the moon, a world of lunacy. Last Friday in J-Post, hard copy, Khaled Abu Tome reported on the arrest by the IDF in Ramallah of a woman, a member of the so-called Palestinian Parliament, which has not convened for years, who is also a senior representative of the PFLP, George Habas's Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The IDF arrested this Khaleda Jarar for violating an IDF order confining her to the Jericho area of her home because of her suspected involvement in planning terror. She went to Ramallah and was arrested in a pre-dawn raid. And yours truly, for one, could not get over the fact that in the bizarre world of the phantom Palestinian nation, a high member of the terrorist PFLP, with its decades of terror atrocities, could also be a parliamentarian. Then again, since the so-called Palestinian Parliament, its legislative council, was the creation of terrorist criminals in Fatah, the presence of criminals sitting in its assembly hall should not surprise. In my book, I cite Arafat declaring his aspiration to introduce the Palestinian nation to the world as freedom fighters, which in practice meant a people known for its crimes of atrocious violence. People not known for its scientists and doctors, its poets, artists, but its murderers of innocent people. These are the criminal enemies of civilization with whom the peace processors have demanded we in Israel negotiate and have been demanding that we do that for over 20 years now. The Oslo peace process was premised on the value of negotiating with the PLO over fighting their violence with superior violence. And so today the same mind is at work in the head of Barack Obama and his flacks, who think they can sign a deal with Iran that Iran will keep. The power of anti-Jewism is so great, it can demolish common sense and basic human wisdom. Evil murderers must never be judged to be those who keep their word. So what is the point of mankind making agreements with them?
וגם בכל רע רואה את הטוב, מחבר רסיסי העולם. וגם בכל רע רואה את הטוב, מחבר רסיסי העולם. בחברון ירהבות אהבה, להיות אחד בלבבות, לתוח את הלב ולהבין שבסופו של דבר כולנו אחים. אהבה כאן בחברון ירהבות אהבה, להיות אחד בלבבות, לתוח את הלב ולהבין שבסופו של דבר כולנו אחים. בנו של יצחק מלא אהבה, לכל רגב בארץ חיים, נשמתו נטועה בחלקת אדמה, נטועה בחלקת אלוקים. נשמתו נטועה בחלקת אדמה, נטועה בחלקת אלוקים. אהבה כאן בחברון עיר האבות, אהבה להיות אחד בלבבות, לפתוח את הלב ולהבין שבסופו של דבר לנו אחים. ישמע יעקב תמיד את קולו, ויוהב את בני ישראל. ישמע יעקב תמיד את קולו, ויוהב את בני ישראל. שבסופו של דבר כולנו אחים. אהבה גם בחברון עיר האבות, אהבה להיות אחד בלבבות, לפתוח את הלב ולהבין שבסופו של דבר כולנו אחים.
Lastly, I hope you have taken note of the crushing of a PLO UNRWA area outside of Damascus, mentioned last time, by ISIS. It's called the Yarmouk camp. Predictably, the self-styled Balistan, like M.K. Ahmed TB here, are shrieking that the international community must do something to help these people being massacred. The notice, as always, It's always something external to the self that is the target of Arab accusation. It's the international community that is derelict in not rescuing the people in Yarmouk. And never is there a moment of reflection on the Arab character, which produces such ghastly atrocities again and again. Most significant of all, they are their own worst enemies. In my lifetime, there has been no decade without Arabs killing Arabs like this somewhere in Araby, and I reckon it has been like this in every decade for centuries, even millennia. One chapter title in my book is Fratricide as a Way of Life. Well, that's about it for this evening. Israel is on vacation this week. Endless streams of families in cars, picnicking. It's another reason our neighbors hate us so. Compare and contrast, class, life in Syria these days and life here during Passover week. They envy us, our peaceful society, which is so different from theirs. Oh, how they whine about our alleged crimes against them when no one brutalizes Arabs like fellow Arabs. Well, have a good rest of the week, and I will return to a regular schedule after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Modim L'Simcha from the hills of Judea.